everybody, and welcome to the very first ever episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Now you're thinking to yourself, while that is an original title, you may also be thinking, if you are a listener of Pixelated Radio, which if you aren't, you definitely should be, well, you know what, Mark, you sound kind of weird. By the way, my name's Mark. You know, some people call me Kush. You can call me Mark or Kush, whatever. But speaking of sounding weird, I just got back from the dentist, and they numbed the shit out of the right side of my face, so I might be talking with a bit of a lisp. And I thought, should I wait to record this episode? No. This is, how many times am I going to have the chance to talk like this, with this wonderful, numb face, for all you listeners who I'm sure are going to enjoy this? So anyway, this is going to be a solo podcast hosted just by me, and maybe I might have frequent guests or the occasional guest, but I don't know right now. As far as you are concerned and I am concerned, this is a one-man show that may occasionally have a fellow host or hosts. Who knows? But this is going to be more unlike Pixelated Radio, which is a whole bunch of things. These episodes are going to be daily, Monday through Thursday. I'm going to skip Friday and the weekend because, you know what, I need a break. You need a break from me. And they're going to be focused on one topic per episode. And the topic can range from video games or movies, TV, whatever, any kind of geeky thing or anything that I actually want to talk about. And it went through various other titles before just me settling on the Pixelated Sausage Podcast, because what is this? It's the podcast by the guy who created Pixelated Sausage. So why not do that? Plus, what I was really struggling out with the other titles was I couldn't think of the right look for the box art, the logo, the album art. So I just said, forget it. I'm just going to use this logo and then whatever. Who cares? So the topic I've decided to talk about for this very first episode, and these episodes will probably at max be a half hour. They might be as short as 15 minutes. They're just little daily quick things, and they're focused on one single topic. And today's topic will be Man of Steel, which I saw Friday. And let me just say before I say, first, this will be filled with spoilers, so know that right now. Second, I am not the biggest Superman fan. I'm a casual fan, I'd say. I've only read one comic of his. It was by Alan Moore, I believe, and it was some story about where Superman supposedly died, and they're, I think, talking to Lois Lane about what happened to him or whatever, and you just find out that who she's with is Clark Superman. That was my phone. Ignore that. I should probably turn that off. But I'm not going to, because it's too far away. But obviously, it's not really that far away. I'm a liar, because if it was, you wouldn't have been able to hear that. But back to Superman. I'm not the biggest fan. I sort of always hated him as a character, just because when I looked at him when I was younger, I just saw, okay, this is one of the very first like big superheroes. And because of that, he's not that creative. It's not like he's the most creative idea. He can fly, he can do all this, he's just all these amazing things, nothing can hurt him. Oh wait, there's this rock that can hurt him from his planet, you know. It's just, and you know, the name Superman, it's like, how, what is he? He's a man with superpowers. What's his name? Superman. So there's just a lot of that, and over the years I've grown to not feel that way as much, and part of it is I really fell in love with Smallville. So that's really my Superman expertise, is that show. So I have no idea what that changes from the core idea of Superman and all that. But I really, really enjoy that show. And I also really enjoyed Lois and Clark. What was the subtitle? The Adventures of Superman or something? Though I stopped like halfway through the third season because I wasn't really digging it when they were like on Hawaii or something. I don't know. But I really enjoyed that show too. So, the only movie I ever saw before this was the last one, Superman Returns or whatever, with, what's his face? Who cares? But it had that other horrible woman, Kate something. The one with Kevin Spacey, where he had a kid who like lifts up a piano, and that was exactly the moment where that movie really, really, really lost me. But back to Man of Steel, and I'm not the biggest Superman expert or anything like that, so if you are a huge Superman fan and you're upset with anything I have to say, just remember that before you send me any hate mail. If you want to send any mail, you can send it at... Well, you can just send it to me. Screw it. No, I don't want to do that. Never mind. Where should I do it? Well, for now, just send it to the Pixelated Radio email, which is radio@pixelatedsausage.com. Email anything there. You can also send a voicemail to this show, the same voicemail, which is 312... I forgot. What the hell's the number? 312-772-5874, I believe. You can call that number. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, tell whatever you want to tell to the person who picks up the phone. So Man of Steel, I have mixed feelings about the movie. There are things that I loved about it, things I really didn't like about it. And overall, when it's all said and done, I was just kind of bored the whole time. Now, the intro starts with a rather long bit on Krypton and sort of this origin of Kal-El, Clark Kent and all that, and his family and how he got to where he was and how he was sent to Earth. And I really like that part. I thought Russell Crowe was fantastic in his portrayal of Jor-El. And also, if I mispronounce any names, don't hold that against me either. I really liked that part. I thought it was interesting, well done. And I didn't think it was like, oh, we've all seen this story a million times before. I don't want to see it again. You know, this is in the same way as in Thor, which I enjoyed all the bits on Asgard in that movie too. I thought those were well done, and this was well done too. After, I think it was about a half hour, then they get back to the States. And then from there, it jumps to where he was on that like fishing boat where you've seen in all the trailers, of where he has this beard. And some people are upset and like wondering how he shaves. One, I'm never going to talk about that because I really don't give a shit about how he shaves. Don't care. The only thing I had a problem with his shaving is like when he gets to the Fortress of Solitude... And he gets his suit. He had like some stubble. He might have had a beard too. I can't remember how thick the facial hair was at that point. I just bit my fucking tongue. Ow. That really threw me off guard, biting my tongue. No, but like he had a beard. But then he has a suit on. And when he goes like test out his ability, like because he couldn't fly at that point, he magically has a clean shaven face. That's what I want to know. I'd like to know where he... I don't care how he shaves. I just want to know... why he decided to shave. Is like, is that part of the suit? Does he shave when he puts on the suit? Is that what causes his facial hair to disappear? It's the suit. I don't know. But when he's back on the States, you see him save those people on the boat. It jumps between at that point. It jumps like he'll go in flashbacks where it shows him as a kid and all these bits. And I thought all those early parts were really good and interesting. I thought they developed his character pretty well. The bits with his Earth family, the Kents, Martha and Jonathan, I thought those were really, really good. I thought Diane Lane did a really great job as his mother. Costner was good too. And I was really into the thing. I was a bit thrown off. It bugged me initially that there was no Lois and Clark and Superman love triangle kind of thing, or just the fact that there was no moment at all, really, where she didn't know he was Superman. It was like immediately. I mean, there are little bits in the beginning where they just like pass, or she's like, here, take my bags. And they just don't even acknowledge that the two of them have interacted, really. It's sort of like, oh, this is funny because they're going to fall in love. But that kind of just bugged me, you know. But after a little thought, like, I didn't really care that much about it. And so, like, they're on, I don't know if it's, like, Antarctica or some icy place or whatever it was. It's some icy place. There are no penguins, though. No penguins marching anywhere. And that's where he finds his suit, and he gets he has his little whatever, his little Superman key that he puts inside this spaceship thing, and then he gets to see his real father for the first time, Jor-El, and he's, you know, telling him about this and that and what is going on. It's just his, you know, it's not actually his father, it's just his consciousness. And I was really into the movie then. And then he put on the suit, and then he did his whole, like, oh, I'm learning these shticks, and he screwed up at first. You know, he's doing, like, the big long jumps, and then he could fly, and then he just, like, ran out of juice and fell and crashed. And that was interesting, just to see Superman, you know, failing. I mean, it's funny, like, you see all these other Superman movies, and you're like, why do we keep needing to see these origin stories? And I think it works in this one just because I never saw the Christopher Reeves Superman movies. I don't think they had that in there either, but in, like, a Superman Returns, they didn't have any kind of origin for him either. He just, like, was gone and then came back. So I think it worked well for this. And also, just before I say anything else, I think Henry Cavill, whatever, was a really good Superman. I really liked him. I think the cast overall was really well. I think where it falls apart is later on with the action, and some of the script is not that great. So after, you know, he becomes Superman, though I don't think he actually did any, like, Supermaning, any kind of saving by the time when General Zod came in and was like, there's one of us who is hidden in there. And, you know what, give us to him or we're going to fuck you up. So, I mean, Lois Lane learned all about him through reporting, through investigations, to find out first his mother, and then he ended up there. And they're like, oh, I know who you are. And like, oh, don't tell anyone. Perry White's like, you got to tell someone. And like, whatever. And then when General Zod made the threat and was, asking for him, like, it came on the news that they wanted this one Krypton who was on Earth, and they wanted. And what bugged me is that when that happened, like, okay, Lois already knows who he is, and then, like, he goes into a church, and the priest is just like, "What is troubling you, my son?" And he's like, "You know that one guy in the news, that, like, alien who they're all looking for? That's me." And the priest is just like, "Okay, blah blah blah," and then just. It's like, the priest is not fazed at all. And it also just bugged me. It's like, you're going to tell everyone who you are? I mean, just, you know, keep it in your pants a bit. Jesus Christ, man. But then the movie just sort of falls apart. I might be skipping things because my memory could be a bit wavy. Just because when the action started, I just really started to get annoyed with the movie. Because some of the action was really good, I think. You know, it was entertaining to watch, but it's just, I would expect Superman to maybe, you know, try and push all these fights to somewhere where people weren't. So it wasn't as big of a deal in Smallville, because I think that's when he was first just getting used to everything and his power. And he's also upset at that point because General Zod had just threatened his mother. He came to his, you know, his family home. And threw, like, a truck into her house and everything. And I think it was about to hit her when Superman just came out of nowhere and just knocked General Zod on his ass. And that was a great moment. And then the action really just started, like, I feel like it was almost nonstop from that point on. And it was just kind of, one, it was funny just watching as, like, Superman, for the most part, was kind of shitty. He wasn't really a good fighter. And I guess that's because he's still new to the whole thing. But he's getting his ass whooped. And I think Feora, who is the woman Krypton you've seen in all the trailers, I think she was probably the baddest ass of the entire movie. She did some very cool, there were some very cool moments. Like, there was one time when she was taking out a bunch of military. And I thought it was cool because it was just sort of like, I don't want to say stop motion, but just sort of like pinballing between enemies she did. That was a weird sentence. That was weirdly constructed. But she was sort of pinballing between enemies, just like knocking them out. And I thought that was a really cool scene. But all that happened, and then eventually, I don't know, like because the Kryptons are not used to the environment of Earth, the atmosphere, so he ends up postponing the whole fight because he screws up Zod's, his mask or whatever. Fuck, I bit my lip again. God damn it. I feel like I'm bleeding. I don't know. So that'll happen. And before that, there was a point where when he did surrender himself, when Superman surrendered, they also won Lois Lane, and they took them both up on one of their spaceships. And there was a point where Lois gets out because she has that Superman key thing. She puts it in. She sees Jor-El, and he helps her get through this place. Like, he's just telling, like, he won't even say anything. He'll just be standing there and pointing to the direction she needs to go. He gets her gun. He's like, behind you, to your left, your right, where she shoots haphazardly. And I really liked that moment. I thought that was great. I was like, oh, I'm so happy to see Russell Crowe again. I think Russell Crowe might have been the best part of the movie to me. I was surprised too. I'm not like the biggest Russell Crowe fan, but I think he did a really good job in this movie. So I thought that whole scene was good, and like, she changed the atmosphere and did all this stuff so Superman could escape and get his strength back. So when the fight moved eventually to Metropolis, this is where the movie really lost me, because they are just, like, first they have this machine that is just sort of like teeter-tottering between, you know, like Metropolis and then whatever's on the opposite end of the Earth. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, just sort of making this ripple effect that is slowly growing bigger and bigger and bigger and just taking up buildings. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, there are so many people dying. Hold on. Okay, I just licked my hand just to see if I was bleeding anywhere. I'm good so far. But I'm just watching this scene, and I'm thinking, millions and millions of people are dying. And then when Superman he destroys the machine on one end, and then the other machine gets destroyed by a plane that's holding to create a black hole. They use the ship that Clark came on and hit it with that one to create this black hole back to the Phantom Zone, where all these Zod and all his little army men who did their little coup or attempted a coup went back, but Zod didn't. I'm getting in there. And then Zod and Superman fight, and it was just fucking, I'm watching this, like, they're flying through fucking buildings all over the place and just destroying shit, making more buildings topple, and fucking, like, I'm thinking, why can't you just, like, move the fight somewhere else? Millions of people are dying. Do you not care about that at all? It seems very weird for Superman. Just, come on, move the fight somewhere else. I don't care, but whatever. You know, it's like, oh, this is very cool to look at, so let's just destroy the fucking shit out of this place. And then, you know, whatever, they fight. I can't remember if Superman's kiss with Lois Lane was before or after the fight. I think it was before, but they fight, and then they get into, I don't know if it was like Union Station or something, but I think it was some train station. And then he's like, has Zod in his hands. He's like holding his head while Zod has got his laser eyes going, and he's slowly moving it towards his family in a corner. And, you know, he's moving it closer and closer and closer, and he's screaming whatever, and he's, you know, Superman struggling to try and keep his head from moving. There's nowhere else for the family to go on the end, because I guess they couldn't move forward or something. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how it was set up that they couldn't move at all, but they couldn't. And when the laser almost gets to the family, Superman snaps Zod's neck, saves the family, and then he just drops his knees immediately and lets out this humongous scream, which I think it might be in some of the trailers, or a trailer. And that is a scene that has been, I know a lot of people have, like, that's probably one of the scenes that has been talked about the most, because, you know, Superman doesn't kill. How do I feel about that scene? I struggled with it at first, and I would recommend reading Joey Esposito's post about the movie on IGN. It's a very, very good read, regardless of how you feel about the scene. I wasn't the biggest fan, but I'm still, there's still things I have. There's still some problems I have with that scene just because I'm warned. Like, he snaps his neck, which takes a lot of force, right? But he couldn't prevent him from moving his head slowly towards his family. And he couldn't, like, lift up Zod or try and fly him away. I'm just wondering why there weren't any other options than snapping his neck. If, like, I don't, you know, if he has the strength to snap it, why doesn't he have the strength to do something else? But him snapping that neck works for me in this version of Superman. I wish, I'm just taking this as another version of Superman. This is an alternate, you know, reality, an alternate version. And I'm fine with that. I'm not somebody who feels with any comic book movie or TV show or anything that it has to be completely and 100% exactly like the source material. Because if I wanted to if I wanted like a one for one movie of a comic or whatever, etc., I would just read the fucking comic. You know, I know some people say, well, I want to see it up there on the big screen. I want to see this exact story just visually all there up in my eyeballs. But I would prefer to have something that's different. I would like to see a character, and it's like the core of his ideals and all that, and just try something different. So it's, there's always something fresh. That's what I like. I'm not somebody who's like, oh, it's always got to be this. No change. I like seeing something new, something fresh. And it worked for me in this because it was sort of this idea that was brought up in the movie on multiple occasions. In the scene that everyone knows from the second, like the actual full-length trailer where Clark is talking with his father, Jonathan, and he's saying, what, should I have just let them die? And he says, maybe. And, you know, what he says following that is that, you know, you might have to let certain people die for the greater good, you know, that you can't save everyone. And that is sort of what he did at that moment. He took it a little bit more to the extreme. It wasn't him not saving someone. It was him taking someone's life to save millions, if not billions, of people. Because General Zod would not have stopped. And who, you know, you have to think, like, what would he have done with him? Would he have flown off in space somewhere? Would he have, you know, he's not going to put him into prison. That's not going to work. So it worked for me. And also, I'm going to get back to this one thing before, but it also worked just because Superman's immediate reaction when he fell down and let out that scream, that made it work, really. That was like the key. Because I think Henry Cavill's performance in that, in those few seconds, the way he reacted to what he had just done was so powerful. And it was just sort of like, that was like where everything before that, all the destruction that really bugged me and still bugs me, I didn't think about it in that moment because I was just caught up in that emotion and how much that weight had just, like, you could tell how bad he felt about what he had done, and just he was so like, what is this? But then at that moment, they fucking just, you know, it just like cut. They don't really have him talk to Lois at all. She just sort of like comes there and comforts him. She just like, whatever, gives him a hug. And then it cuts to this stupid moment where like brings down a fucking satellite and it gets all jokey and it's like all these things, who cares about what just happened however long ago it did happen, and this stupid one young military woman says, oh, he's kind of hot, I'm like, ha ha ha, that's so funny. It wasn't funny. It was like such a change, it's just a drastic change in mood that really just threw me off. I did not like it. And then they go, and he's like, oh, I need to find this regular job. I'm going to work. Then you see him where he puts on his glasses and he goes to work for the Daily. I was going to say the Daily Bugle. Is that right? Or am I thinking of fucking Spider-Man? I'm confused right now. Daily Planet? Right? Okay. I don't even want to commit to either of them because whatever. One of them's right, maybe. But yeah, and that's where it ends, and I was just sort of, what I will say is that there was enough in it that I really want to see a sequel. I want to see more from them. I like the cast. I would like to see more of them. So I'm hopeful, and I'm pretty sure it's going to do well enough, and they've already like greenlit a sequel. So I'm excited to see what happens next. I don't know if I really want to see Zack Snyder do it again. I think I'd rather see someone else, so we'll see what happens with all that. But there was another moment I want to get to before I end this episode, this inaugural episode with the dental lisp. And I feel like it's starting to come back, my feeling, in my mouth. But the point where Jonathan Kent dies is during a tornado, and it's a point where like everyone gets out and they all get on their bridge, and you know, what happens is everyone's safe and they get to this bridge, and Martha Kent's like, oh, the dog is still in the car, and Clark is about to go get it, but then, you know, Jonathan's like, no, I'll get this. You stay there with your mother. And Jonathan goes, he gets the dog out, but he gets foot caught, and then he eventually gets free and he gets out, but it's too late. He can't go out, and Clark wants to go, and then, you know, Jonathan's just like, he puts his hand out. No, don't forget that, you know, it's for the greater good, all that, back to that whole mentality. And then you just see him disappear from when the tornado gets up all up in his face. But the thing that bugs me about that scene is just like, if you really asked yourself, if anyone asked themselves, who would Martha Kent care more to save? The dog or her husband? Who's more important to her? I know the whole idea is that he's going to save the dog. He's not thinking that, oh, his leg's going to get caught or there's going to be any problem that he's not going to be able to get back safely with the dog. But, you know, really? And also, why can't Clark go there and get the dog? If you can manage to do it as a normal person, why can't he do it as a fake normal person? He's not going to get his leg caught or anything like that. And it's just like, it was, I understand, like, you know, you have to have him lose his father. It's an important moment. But the way it was done, I just think it was a bit, it could have used a bit more time and thought, because that didn't work for me, really. So, would I recommend seeing Man of Steel? I don't know. I think if you're a huge Superman fan, you're probably going to get annoyed by a lot of things, as it would seem from what I've read on the internet. But I think it's worth checking out just to see and see how you feel, because I think there are a lot of good moments in it that should be commended, but overall I think it wasn't the greatest of movies, even of comic book movies, so keep that in mind. But I don't know. It's really up to you. Well, obviously it's up to you. I have no control over what you do, but it's just, for me, I was kind of bored, and while I was watching it near the end, I just sort of wanted to go home and watch Smallville from the beginning again. But then again, I am not a huge Superman fan, so I mean, that's the thing. But anyway, this is the first episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast, Man of Steel edition. So I'd love to hear what you thought. I have no idea if this works, just me talking to a mic by myself, talking about this one thing, especially when I got this lisp. But you should check out the website, pixelatedsausage.com. You should check out the other podcasts I do with my good buddy Henderson Man, Pixelated Radio, which you can also find on iTunes, Zune Marketplace, Stitcher Radio. And that's a longer show where we talk about a lot of shit. And you get to hear his opinion, and his opinion is bad. And we also, this last episode, we had the lovely Rolex DP Racer, who was great, and will hopefully be on more episodes. So check out that. On Twitter, I'm at Kush3. The site is at PSausage. So yeah, you should check out other podcasts too. Signed In Podcast, signedinpodcast.com. It's a great Xbox 360 focus gaming podcast, the Two Headed Nerd Comicast, which is at twoheadednerd.com. And guess what? It's about comics. You can also check out Undercover Unitards at undercoverunitards.com, which is... What? I lost my train of thought for a second. I'm thinking about that show. I'm like, wasn't there unicorns and something about that? I don't know. But it's a show about stuff. And you should check it out. That's that. I really don't know what else to do. Intro music and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do for this show yet. I think for this, as a stand right now, I'm going to throw in some instrumental bits from one of my brother's tracks off of his album from like 12 years ago or something. So I'll put links if I do that in the post. So yeah, you should really tell me what you think about this show, because I'd love to hear it. And that is all, everyone. Adios.